The Lord is in this place. I believe it. And I've already seen evidence of His desire to work in hearts this morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27 this morning. I watched just a few moments of the service last week, as I mentioned to you, and I know that Brother James spoke out of the book of Psalms and gave you a three-part outline on My Personal Shepherd, I think is what it was titled. And I had this text chosen for Friend Day, and I decided that it was too good not to preach, even if it wasn't Friend Day any longer. And so I believe that this is what God would have me to give. I have to say that as I was preparing, I was going to give Brother Perry a call and find out what he was singing today, because if he hadn't already selected a song, I was going to ask him to sing "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." I mean that. I have it written down right here at the bottom of my notes. And so I believe God wants to meet with us here this morning. And I don't believe there are any mistakes or any coincidences. No luck when it comes to God and His work. But I believe in the providence of God and in His sovereignty. And so as we consider the Word of God this morning, I want us to look in verse number 10 of Psalm 27. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Think of that just a moment. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to You this morning a needy people. And I know that there are a good many people in this room who have come here today through great difficulty. And Lord, they don't need to hear from a man. They need to hear from heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that I might be Your vessel, that You would minister Your grace to Your people through me, I pray. Make of me a blessing. Lord, if there's one this morning that is uncertain of where they will spend forever, may today be the day of salvation for them. And may through all of these things, Jesus Christ be exalted. For we pray and ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I think some time ago, there was a movie that was made called Stand By Me. I think there was even a song written, "Stand By Your Man." You know, sometimes in a man's life, or a woman's life, whatever the case may be, we go through difficulty, and in those times, in those moments, we want to find someone advocating for us, someone loving us, someone standing with us, and for us, and by us. Today I want to bring a message titled, "Stand By Me." And as we consider this passage, I think it interesting that it says, "When my father and my mother forsake me." That's a time in the life where none of us thinks we will ever arrive. In fact, many times in the course of my adult life, I've had the occasion to talk to individuals who have had children that have gone wayward and landed themselves in prison, maybe in difficult situations. And I've talked to parents that will tell you, "Oh, my son, he's a good boy. And, he never did anything to hurt me. And you could always count on the love of mother. You could always count on mom advocating and standing with her child. You always look for dad to kind of be an encouragement and exhort her and Someone that maybe didn't always know what to say, but when you looked around you, you thought he may be in your corner. And people don't necessarily think about their mother or their father not being there when it comes time to stand up. I think of times as I was growing up and playing in sports and so forth in school, and I remember a lot of times during the warm-ups of a basketball game, scanning the crowd just because I wanted to know that my mom and dad were there cheering me on and encouraging me and that they were going to be there for me. And so there's a scenario here in the Word of God that runs counterintuitive to all of our natural instinct and thought that when my mother or my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I think about what Paul said after he had been withstood by Alexander the coppersmith in 2 Timothy there in chapter 4. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. And then he went on to say, but the Lord stood with me and strengthen me. And there may come a day in your life, and maybe you've arrived at that day, when you feel like that you have been forsaken at the deepest level of your being. Maybe mom and dad are no longer around. Maybe it seems like friends are few and far between, if any at all. And you wonder when you reach a point of despair in your life, what then? Well, the Bible says when you have reached the depth, when you have arrived at the place that you thought you would never arrive at, and you've been forsaken by those that had a vow and a duty to love and care for you, what then? Then the Lord will take you up. And I want you to know that He will stand by you when your mother and your father forsake you, when your friends forsake you, when the one that stood and said, until death do us part, forsakes you. Then the Lord will take you up. And He will stand by you when you are first of all forsaken. I've talked to so many brokenhearted people this week. Last night, comforting a dear lady on the phone, praying together with her, feeling alone, unloved, unwanted by even her children. And it's the reverse of this scenario, but the emotion is the same. Because there comes a point in time where children don't want to be forsaken by their parents, and then at some given point I've noticed that there's a place where parents are desperate that they not be forsaken by their kids. What then? What then? Then the Lord will take you up. Sometimes we feel like we reach a place of absolute despair when things of this magnitude materialize in our lives. And we think that there's something we must do, someplace we must go, something we must take, something we must ascribe to. And it's in the moments of despair where we meet God. I remember years ago talking to an elderly pastor who was passing on some words of wisdom to a young man coming up in the ministry, and And he said, you know, you'll preach a great message, but you won't have a life message until you have life's problems to deal with. Until you have trouble, you'll never know how to fully relate the Word of God as it needs to be related to hurting hearts. At that time, I thought I'd had some trouble. What I discovered is that I hadn't seen trouble. That I didn't really know what it was to feel the depth of being forsaken by those that I loved and trusted the greatest in my life. See, to be a parent is to be in a position of trust. It's a sacred, God-given trust. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that at this very moment, I'm talking to a myriad of people who could give testament to the fact that those who were placed in a position of trust forsook the trust and in the process forsook them. No doubt there are young ladies and some that are not so young anymore that could bear testimony to having been violated by a father or being abused by a mother. And you are experiencing or have experienced what the psalmist is talking about. At the deepest level of your despair, the Lord will come to your rescue. The Lord then will take you up. Sometimes until that place and time, we feel like we don't need Him so very much. That we've got a hold on things until all of a sudden the world is spinning out of control and we don't seem to be able to get a hold on the circumstances of our life and we're looking around for just someone to be there, a voice of calm, a shoulder to cry on, a steady hand and a strong arm, and we find none, and it is then that the Lord will take you up when you're forsaken. Have you been there? Say, Pastor, been there, I am there. Aren't you glad that the Lord loves you so much that when everybody else forsakes you, that He'll take you up? Say, what do you mean, Pastor? He'll take me up. Then the Lord will take me up. I don't know about you, but in the moment where mom and dad forsake me, I'd probably be face down somewhere in the total depths of despair, feeling like I don't have anyone. And it brings to mind the passage in Isaiah chapter 40 that says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. And He shall gently lead those that are with young. You know what He'll do? He'll gather you with His arm and He'll carry you in His bosom. Because He's our comforter when we've been forsaken. When your father and your mother forsake you, then the Lord will gather you with His arm and lift you to His bosom and not just say it's going to be all right, but He will make it right. He can do it. Sometimes people come in to the house of the Lord and they feel this way. And we tell them about the one who will take them up. And they go away. And they reject the offer of Almighty God who says, I'll stand with you and I'll strengthen you when no man stands with you. The Lord will stand by you not only when you are forsaken, but when you are fearful. Not long ago, I read in an article concerning the home that one of the most terrifying thoughts that children have in their developmental years is the idea that their mother and father are going to split up and they're going to be separated from one of their parents. It terrifies them. It turns kids into intermediaries in the home. They feel like that they have to try to be a go-between and sometimes take on some of the angst in the home onto themselves to deflect it away from a parent that they perceive to be the underdog in the fight. And when the people that you count on in this world to be there for you say, "We're gone. We're out of here." And you're left alone. That's a moment where your heart is filled with great fear. Great anxiety produced by great insecurity, and at the heart of insecurity is fear. If I were to go from place to place today and ask every person in this room, what are the greatest fears that you have? It would be interesting to find what the answers would be to that question. But I have no doubt that many of the children, if we could get them to be honest for just a few moments, would say that my mommy and daddy would not be there for me any longer. Because if they were gone, then I would have no idea what the future might hold for me. And I am afraid. And perhaps today, you're at a point in time where you're taken with fear over what the future holds. Some people are afraid of having lived their life and gone through a profession and a career and maybe even raised a family and leaving no mark in their world. Many men reach the middle of a professional career and they have what's known as a midlife crisis that I believe is spawned largely by a fear in their heart. There are many people that make rash decisions because they do not know what the future holds for them. And they make decisions out of fear. I've talked to women who have married men after a brief courtship because they were afraid that if they didn't grab this person while he was available, that he might never be there again later and they might go under financially. And because of the fear that was in their heart, they made a rash decision only later on to regret the decision made out of fear. Remember that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And when we are afraid, the Lord will take us up. Last night, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, Phoebe stood up crying, and Linda said, "Honey, that's an afraid cry." I don't know if she'd had a bad dream, but I got up and I went into the kid's room and I lifted her out of the crib. And you know what I did? I took her in my arms and I carried her in my bosom. And I patted her on the back and I said, "Baby, it'll be okay." I took her up in my arms when she was afraid. And when your father and your mother forsake you and your heart is paralyzed by fear, then the Lord will take you with His arm and hold you in His bosom
and it will be okay.
Sometimes we're paralyzed by fear. Other times we make rash decisions out of fear because of a fearful circumstance. When mother and father are no longer there, there is an uncertainty about tomorrow for a child, and that produces fear. I wonder how many today would, in their heart of hearts, take an emotional and spiritual inventory and be honest with themselves and with their God and acknowledge that there is great fear that you're holding in your heart. And that great fear has led to foolish choices or to no choice at all, which in and of itself is a choice. But to those that are fearful of heart, like the disciples when they saw the Lord Jesus with the glory of God on His countenance walking across the Sea of Galilee coming toward their vessel, and their hearts were gripped with fear, and the Lord said, "Fear not, it is I. The Lord will come and dispel the fear from your heart." As we read in the Word of God, 365 times in God's Word, we have the Lord saying, "Fear not." One time for every day of the year, it would lead rise to the thought that perhaps God does not want us to live with the tyranny of fear. The Bible says in the book of 1 John in chapter 4 that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. But friend, perhaps today you have found yourself at the place you feared the most. And now what? And now what? Has the Lord abandoned you? You say, "No. But Pastor, I have to confess, that I have not gone to the Lord to find the peace in the midst of my fears. I have sought comfort from others, from things. I've sought comfort from drugs or alcohol. And I have not sought the Lord." I used to have a lady in my church, and from time to time she would sing old Negro spirituals. And she used to often sing with a great deal of soul the song, "I Go to the Rock." And it says, "I go to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me." And while you and I may tremble while on the rock will never tremble. It's the rock of our salvation. Why would this scenario produce fear? Because we as children look for our parents to provide security. Parents, this isn't a part of my message, but can I just submit to you this? That you have a duty to develop a Christ-like love between husband and wife that will engender a secure heart in the chest of your child. Your bickering and fighting and carrying on and your posturing and malice does nothing to dispel fear. It does everything to infuse it into the hearts of your children that you claim to love. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, Paul said. And the Lord will stand by you when you are filled with fear. Friend, today He will speak peace to your heart. When the people you look to in the world to be there, when nothing is left and everyone is gone, you're at a place where you perhaps don't think you can go on. And the Lord will stand by you then when, thirdly, you're faint. When you're faint. You know, we read that passage in Isaiah 40. Where the Bible tells us, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. And He shall gently lead those that are with young. But that passage tells us this. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Through the years, I've talked to a good many people who have indicated, Pastor, I just don't feel like I can go on. Through the years, I've received more calls than I care to remember from those who were at the point of just ending their life, feeling like their life had no meaning or purpose, and that it was futile to continue fighting on, and they were faint. When you come to the place where you're at the end of the line and even your parents have forsaken you, you're faint in your mind and in your spirit and in your body, and sometimes you feel like, I just can't continue on. And then we should wait upon the Lord, and He will renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not be weary. Walk and not faint when you feel like you just can't go on. I just can't do this another day. Then the Lord will take you up, and He'll gather you with His arm, and He'll carry you in His bosom. He will lead you on when you can't go on. When you're faint. I suppose everybody here knows what it feels like to be anxious. I suppose everybody here knows what it feels like to just be exhausted. Have you ever been to the place where you were just spirit, soul, and body spent? Felt like, I'm just used up here. I just don't know where I'm going to get any energy for nothing. And you go to bed early and you sleep all night and you wake up in the morning and you feel more exhausted than when you pillowed your head. And you just think, I can't go on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Friend, without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. And sometimes it's in the hour when father and mother forsake us. That proverbial hour of our life where we discover the absolute sufficiency of Almighty God. The everlasting God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Even young men, it says, they get tired and they wear out. Sometimes we think that that's only for those that have walked the road of life a little ways longer. And yet in moments when you're faint, spirit, soul, and body, what then? The Lord will take you up. He'll take you up. I want to ask you a question. What do you suppose would occasion a mother and father forsaking a child? I think there are many things that could come to our mind, but I think it's when we are fallen. We have fallen to a place where they feel that we are no longer worthy of their affection and affirmation, our involvement in their lives, when we're fallen. When we have sunk to the depths of depravity and we have brought shame upon the family name. When we have gone to a place that we were forbidden to go and we have brought shame upon them because of our actions. In those moments, perhaps, father and mother would turn around and say, I'm out of here. What then, when you've fallen down? Will you be like the old gal in the commercial that says, I've fallen and I can't get up? You ever felt that way? I've fallen into a deep pit of substance abuse. I've fallen into a deep pit of habitual crime. I've fallen into a deep pit of alcohol abuse. I've fallen into a deep pit of an abusive lifestyle. I've fallen into a deep pit of sexual perversion. I've brought shame upon the name of my family. And when we have fallen, the devil has a field day, my friend. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 that he's the accuser of the brethren. And so often the accuser of the brethren has some merit to the charges he's bringing to us. You call yourself a Christian and you did that? Look at the shame you heaped upon your church and Christianity. And we've fallen down and we think, I'm forsaken because I have fallen and I can't get up. And we begin to believe the lies of the devil, the accuser of the brethren, who tries to cause offenses to stick on us, to impose a weight of guilt. And yet, the one who then will take you up and carry you with his arm and hold you in his bosom, then he'll say, don't worry, your sins and iniquities, I don't remember them against you. And when the old devil, old ugly himself, comes and hurls accusations at the people of God, then when you feel like a deplorable dog, like nothing better than pond scum, remember, then he will take you up. He'll gather you with his arm and carry you in his bosom and say, I paid the price in full for all of those things. The slate has been wiped clean. Fallen? No, sir. The Bible says in the book of Psalm, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. And my friend, I want to tell you, the Lord, when you have fallen, will lift you up. He will take you up in his arms when you've fallen. Stop believing the father of lies and what he says about you, because Your Father in heaven has chosen you before the foundations of the world that you should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And He has forgiven you all your trespasses. And you tell the devil to go to hell where he came from because you choose to believe the source of truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And I believe the truth that God says about me. And I repudiate the accusations of the father of lies. And I now go running into the arms of a shepherd who will take me in his arm and carry me in his bosom and speak peace to my heart when I have fallen and my mother and father turn away from me in shame. I will remind you that the one who will take you up knows what it feels like to be forsaken by a father. And while he was blotting out all of your sins, he took them on himself. He chose this. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because a perfect and holy father could not look upon the shame of the sin that was laid on his son, and the sky turned dark. So that when you have fallen into sin, He would be able to take you up and carry you in His bosom. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Maybe today you've come to church and you can identify with these moments in time of desperate despair in the life. And the Lord is saying, I'm here to take you up in my arms. Would you receive His offer? One of the saddest verses in all of the Bible is found in the Gospel of Mark, where the Lord has just preached a message to the multitudes about the salvation that is available through Him. And He came to the end of it and He said this, and you will not come unto me that you might have life. There's some people that see the kind of God that He is, and they will not come unto Him that they might have life. Don't leave here alone. Would you reach out to Him and say, like Paul, I want you to stand by me. I want you to advocate for me because I cannot for myself. Would you stand by me? And He will. And He will strengthen you. And He will show you the purpose for your life. He'll give you meaning that you thought never existed. And that verse that says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom. Will become not just something to put on a plaque, but will become the desire of your heart. And you'll be like the songwriter who said, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no one else could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Lord, today, I choose You. Stand by me. He'll stand by you, and He'll strengthen you. He'll speak peace to your heart. When father and mother have forsaken you, then He will lift you up. Heavenly Father, thank You that we have a Father and that we have a Savior. Thank You that we have a wonderful Shepherd who will carry us in His bosom with that strong arm. Lord, I pray that if there be one here today that is feeling like they just cannot go on, that You would give them strength for this day. There's someone whose heart is paralyzed by fear. Would You speak peace to the fearful heart and cause that they should come into Your bosom and be carried along by the only One who can give them peace. But Lord, if there's one in the service today that somehow is uncertain that they're on their way to heaven and uncertain that their sins are all forgiven, Lord, today would You use these next few moments to be the difference between life and death, heaven and hell for them. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just a moment.